He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, I deserve to not have all this. I deserve to not benefit from this wonderful life or all these blessings you've given me. And Lord, thank you for having mercy upon me. Lord, you are my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end, my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. Oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So are you willing to ask God to help you today?
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today on Regaining Lost Ground, we return for the conclusion of the message titled, Ask the Hard Questions. Jesus said to all of us in Matthew 11:28-30, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today, Pastor Shane encourages us to be sober-minded in our faith in the Lord, being doers of the word and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. A powerful encouragement to embrace the victory already won by Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
There's something beautiful about holiness. Not that you're perfect, but that you come out from among them and you are separate. I can't watch those things. I can't go there. I can't hang around with that group. I can't act like Sodom when I want to come out of it. There's a difference, and I want to live that holy life. And as I'm making choices that honor God, I come to a worship service and there's something beautiful that takes place because I'm not living in besetting sin. I've cleaned my heart and I've cleansed my soul and I lay it bare before God. And there's something sweet about the beauty of holiness. It's beautiful. Have you ever seen a teenager in the innocence of life and they're following God and they're innocent? There's something beautiful about that holiness. Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that's a command. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's an active tense verb in the language. Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I know many people listening or even here, you might say, Shane, I've been dirty all week. Even today. But you can change that. Nobody's here that is perfect. We want people to know you come as you are. Billy Graham would often end his messages with that song. Come as you are. And everyone is welcome here. We welcome everyone. We don't affirm. You catch the difference? We don't affirm sinful lifestyle, but we welcome everyone. Everyone is welcome. Do you give God your all? Does your life reflect holy beauty? Do you desire the loveliness of spiritual worship? And guys, I know many people fall short. I don't want you to leave here discouraged. But you get back up and you fight again. You're saying, Lord, I know you don't want me to watch those things. I know I don't need to listen to that. I don't need to let my mind go there. I don't need to hang around with this negative, gossiping, slandering, backbiting group. I don't need, and you begin to repent and get back on track with God. And that out of that holiness comes a beautiful, beautiful sense of worship. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes the choir needs a little preaching too. Do you feel a difference when you come into worship and your heart is right? I don't know about you. But when you've been living for God, yes, you've made mistakes, but you've repented. You've cleaned that area up and you're doing good. Maybe you fall, you get back up and you're walking with the Lord and you're repenting and worship just comes alive because it ministers to your heart. But when you're living in sin like the prodigal son, you think the prodigal son enjoyed worship? feeding the pigs? No, he's miserable. But again, you can change that today. You repent. Say, Lord, that's not who you want me to be. I stumbled. I fell. I can't continue in this. I want you, Lord. I want you to change my heart, change my life. Get this out of me. I want that holy desire. I want what Shane talked about. I want that. I want to love worship. I want to have a passion for you. God, would you create in me a clean heart? Renew within me a right spirit. That's David's prayer after he committed adultery and killed the husband. Now, you might be in a pretty bad spot, but I don't think you're up to that par. If so, you probably would be in jail, not here. Do you desire the loveliness of spiritual worship? And maybe you're not hungry for worship and you're hungry for God because you're consuming the wrong things. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. This the voice of God is always something. I don't know, maybe some, you know when you read the Bible, certain things just really resonate with you. Like when I first read, I remember, I think I just put the Bible down and just took it in when the pillar shook and Isaiah had that vision of God. I read it some 22 years ago. I'm like, why have I been reading the Bible since I was 12? What's wrong with me? And the pillar shook. Holy, holy, holy is our God. And the voice of God is like thunder that cracks the cedars in Lebanon. I mean, bam, it's just this. How do you explain God? The voice that can just crack Mount Everest. That's power in his name. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. What can stop God's voice? The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. Powerful power, the voice of the Lord. And you know what this reminded me of is what is an aspect of God's voice today is me and you proclaiming his truth. So you could theoretically say when we preach God's word or we let the truth go out, it is like thunder that rolls through the valley. It's powerful. It's majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar. The voice of the Lord can break Washington. The voice of the Lord can break the liberal media. The voice of the Lord can break TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. It goes out there. It's thunderous because the word of God is powerful. And to make no mistake about it, that voice of God can be carried through us as we proclaim his truth. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides, it cuts, it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's powerful. So have you truly heard God's life-changing, pride-shattering, soul-piercing voice? Do you enter the house of God with fear and reverence? Do you enter the house of God with fear and reverence? You know, it's one thing I hope never happens here, and sometimes I can see that, you know, we have to be careful, but and maybe it was just when I was younger. You know, it was definitely a different culture back then. You know, in the public schools, you said the Pledge of Allegiance, you prayed, and I mean, the fear of God was on this place in America, and there wasn't, you know, of course there was evil going on, but there was just a reverence and a respect for God. And when you would walk in, I remember I'd walk into just a church as a kid, you know, my mom or others, the usher would say, boy, take that hat off. This is God's house. Don't talk. Be quiet. Have a respect. How you conduct yourself, and you wouldn't bring your girlfriend in that you're living in sin with, and because there's just a holy respect for God's house. And that's how the temple was in the Old Testament. That priest could not go into the Holy of Holies without getting his heart right once a year. He would just walk in trembling. Am I holy enough? Am I right enough? And there was a reverence. You'll never be holy enough. You'll never be right enough. Thank God for Jesus. But there should be a reverence and a respect for God's house and how we conduct things, how we do things. And that's why you probably don't see it, but we try really hard here to make sure we're honoring what God would want us to honor. That we're trying to steward a very challenging environment because you don't want to quench and grieve the Spirit, but also you don't want to let certain things just go haywire. And you don't, well, if it's odd, it's God. No, we have a biblical mandate to steward what God is doing. If you're not sure what that looks like, just come to one of the Rend the Heavens. God just, it just, people are just broken for some reason at those. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. Isn't that interesting? They mention the flood. The Lord sat enthroned. He was still in charge, still in command. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And so do you recognize God's sovereignty and trust in it? Don't leave here tonight without reminding yourself of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty is my sanity. I gave a sermon by that title a while ago. And I've had to rest in that so many times. Because we look at what's going on in the news, and you're gonna go insane without God's sovereignty as your anchor, knowing that all hell is breaking loose, but God's sovereignty will prevail. And then Psalm 30, I will extol you. It's a pressing in. It's a looking to God to answer, and I will look to you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. You have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Thank God for that. God will lift you up if you look to him. Your enemy will not be able, they might be laughing at you now, but there will become a time when they will not laugh because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. And oh Lord God, I cried out to you and you healed me. This could be physically, it could be spiritually, emotionally. Oh Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. Have you ever felt like you're going down to the grave? Have you ever struggled with that depression or that anxiety or that pressure that begins to push you down and you feel like you're going to that grave? I can't take much more of this. I know there's a couple in here that can relate. I know not all of you can because you haven't been there yet. But some of us can say, if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I would have been buried in that grave. But God pulled me up out of that and he put me back on the right ground. Oh God, I don't let me go down to the grave. He's not talking about hell and with the demonic realm, but there's a grave, the pit, Sheol and Gehenna and all these terms they had for different things in a holding spot. And Lord, I feel so beaten down. I feel so abused. I feel like I can't keep doing this and everyone's against me. But Lord, lift me back up. That just preaches itself right there. I cried out to you and you healed me. Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. That's why I often say, if you're barely holding on, make sure it's to the hem of his garment. Make sure. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Sing praise to the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. Amen. Even when you don't feel like it. I've learned the better praise and worship where my heart really changes is when I force my flesh to shut up and I praise God despite my feelings. Lord, I didn't come in here feeling that great, but I'm gonna submit. I'm gonna command. I'm gonna do what your word commands and I'm gonna praise you. I'm gonna sing praises to you. And you're not faking it. What you're doing is you're bringing your flesh into submission. And after a few minutes, something will break. And then that praise you begin to feel. And you said, there's those feelings. There's that love of God because I broke through and experienced the power of God. For his anger is but for a moment. Here's a famous verse that many of us have heard. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that's what we encourage people. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing in because yes, 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 it is difficult. Weeping may endure for the night in the night season, but joy cometh in the morning. God will honor his word. But we have to ask the hard question. Do you thank God or complain regularly? Any complainers in the room tonight? Or just me? Oh, there's four. That's great. Balcony, any complainers up there? Okay. Oh, the whole balcony. That's good. We have to tell the truth down here a little bit more. Many of us struggle with that. Complaining. Because that's the fleshly nature. It wants to complain. The AC is not cool enough. You know they never have AC back then, right? They just open the windows and hope for the best. I better not stay there too long. I can really convict us. Now in my prosperity, in other words, when he's wealthy, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. He's trusting in his wealth. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. Of course, there is another translation of this. You could say, now in my prosperity, meaning prospering with God, prospering spiritually. I like that as well. I shall never be moved. You have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. So if we take it, the context as his prosperity is making him prideful, God will hide his face and you will be in trouble. You'll feel like you're in trouble. Anybody ever been there? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he's saying here, maybe saying, I'm trusting in my wealth. I'm trusting in my prosperity. I will never be moved. And you know that that comes in to a lot of us, especially in America, where people can make a lot of money. And man, because when you're doing good financially, I don't know if you've ever been there, you think you can never be moved. Look at my bank account. Look what's coming in. I am set. And then God brings a crash in a housing market or stock or loss of a job. He hides his face and I was in trouble. Do you boast in your prosperity? Are you counting on it? Are you prepared if God strips it away? And I'm you know, on this issue, I feel so much, you know, a lot of things I would like to talk to the church about in the future, but we have to be prepared for an uncertain future. We really don't know what the future holds. We know who holds the future, praise God. But I've over the years, I've talked to so many people who lost a lot, what they were counting on. Like, this is my nest egg. This is my retirement. This is my, I mean, I had some good friends in construction that had to go back to work in 2008, I think it was. And they're so depressed and so, and I got it. That would not be fun. But what are we trusting in? Are we prepared? Are we prepared that things might not work out the way we think they're going to work out? Because what happens if we're putting our faith and trust in that, when that falls apart, we fall apart. But if you're trusting in God, you say, that stinks. Okay, Lord, you're going to see me through some other way. Because your confidence is in him. And I've talked to a lot of men, especially when I'm speaking at men's events. One of the biggest thing, I would say up there with divorce probably, that draws men back to God is being hit with a financial hammer. Or I should say a loss of finances. They thought they were all that and a bag of chips. And they lost everything. Or they lost their job. They're going to lose their home. God got them into a financial crunch. Then they cried out to him. And God often will do that to wake us up. He says, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. Here's what he prayed. Supplication is, it's like praying. But it's supplication is a clear call to action on the part of the Lord. What you're asking him, here's my request. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? And so have we spent significant time praying? Have we reflected lately on the brevity of life? The brevity of life. How precious it is. Every time you do a memorial service, you remember how quick life goes, especially if it's a young person. I remember doing one here for a baby that was in Leona Valley. Very difficult. The brevity of life. And Vinny's here. I just saw him. I did his mom's, had the privilege of doing his mom's memorial on Monday. And 86 years old when she gave her heart to the Lord at Jethawk Stadium. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll never forget that. She wheels up in a wheelchair. She's ready. You ready to accept Jesus now? At 86? Let's do it. And then a couple years later, a year and a half later, just the brevity, how quick things go and missing all these key things that God is doing because we're in a hurry. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Anybody need mercy tonight? The definition of grace and mercy. I mean, many of us know it's, with grace, unmerited favor. Mercy is you deserve something, but God doesn't give it to you. Anybody can relate to that? Yes. Thank God. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, I deserve to not have all this. I deserve to not benefit from this wonderful life or all these blessings you've given me. And Lord, thank you for having mercy upon me. Lord, you are my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end, my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. Oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So are you willing to ask God to help you today? Will you praise and thank him regardless of what the future holds? That's the power of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And when we repent and we get our hearts back on the right page, God begins to really move powerfully.
He's calling, wake up, it's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, it's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Regaining Lost Ground. It is such a privilege to be on the station and to be able to speak to you each week. And I want to just let you know of an incredible opportunity. We have actually taken all 12 of my books and made them available as free downloads at the church website. The church website is westsidechristianfellowship.org. Again, that's westsidechristianfellowship.org, and it's under free ebooks. So books on revival, books on prayer, books on fasting, even books on health and fitness from a biblical perspective. I've written books to young adults and teenagers, to men, books on marriage and how far our nation has drifted and how we can get back on track and really begin to seek the heart of God again. So all of those books, all 12, are available as free downloads at westsidechristianfellowship.org, and you can send those out to friends, to family in need. Our goal is to get this out to help people in certain areas that they are struggling with. For example, if you like a lot of the messages here from Regaining Lost Ground from Westside Christian Fellowship, the books actually contain a lot of the sermon notes, a lot of the illustrations, a lot of the stories, a lot of the scriptures, a lot of the points. All of those are in the books that you can download for free. The newest one, 40 Days to Reset Your Life and Oh God, Would You Rend the Heavens? They both focus on prayer and fasting and renewal and all these things. They're so vital because without another spiritual awakening, I don't have a lot of hope for our nation, but I have a lot of hope in God. So again, just want to let you know of this incredible opportunity at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks, and you can download the books for free on our church website. And again, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman thanking our listeners again for just the blessing you've been, not only to me, but to our church staff, from the emails coming in and the letters coming in on how God has blessed you powerfully through this program. And that is our prayer, that he keeps doing that and keeps bringing the prodigal sons home, that he restores marriages, and it begins to fill us mightily with his spirit. And we pray, oh God, rend the heavens and come down and visit your people again.
And for all the latest on what God is doing with his ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change. Truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when he calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.